This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, doing well, man. It's a warm 43 degrees here in Knoxville today. So, you know, enjoying that and just making it happen, my friend. How about you?
I got the Sherpa on today. It's 70 degrees up down here in Florida. So I am enjoying that. Nice sunny weather. Can't beat it, my friend.
Love it. Love it. Listen, I want to get into today's guest. So today on Movers and Shakers, we have Logan Rankin. A little bit about Logan. So he owns and operates a growing real estate business with 103 different properties, 770 total units in 15 cities across the state of Wisconsin, valued at over $66 million. Logan spent the first decade of his professional working career working for a Fortune 50 corporation leading retail operations. In 2013, Logan began investing in real estate, and through a lot of hard work, Logan achieved financial freedom in the spring of 2018 when he was 30 years old and decided to leave his corporate job in early 2019 to focus his efforts on his real estate business. Logan has been able to grow his business aggressively by adding 100 units in 2019 and over 450 units this year. Wow. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it very much. And by the way, it's a sunny 34 degrees in Wisconsin.
It's actually warm for you guys up there right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, that's sad when you got to say it's a warm at 34, right? That's a tough pill to swallow.
Anything above 32, it's warm in Wisconsin.
All right, Logan, so let's talk about your professional career, kind of how you got into that, your segue into real estate, where that idea came from, your first idea or first deal in real estate. Unpack all of that for us.
Yeah, that sounds good. So backing up a little bit right before real estate, because that'll help from like how I've been able to grow a little bit more aggressively. When I graduated college, I was lucky enough to start with a leadership operational job at a Fortune 50 company. And I liked my job. A lot of people get into real estate. You know, they might not like their job or they wanted to quit their job. For me, I was doing that for 2 or 3 years. And what I hated was my wife and I had we're pretty good at making goals, and we set an aggressive goal to try to be financially free by the time we were 40. And I looked at where my hard-earned money was going, because all society had taught me and all education had taught me to that point was, you know, work really, really hard, pay all debt is bad debt. You know, that scarcity mindset where, you know, you invest and you put your hard-earned money into your 401k. Well, I started to realize, like, first of all, your 401k, you can't even tap into to your 59 and a half. So everything that I taught didn't line up to what my wife and I wanted. So then I started reading personal finance books, and you read enough personal finance books, you fall into rich dad, poor dad and real estate and, you know, how that can create some wealth. So first of all, that's kind of how and I still read a book a week to this day, but I educated myself from a personal finance standpoint. And by doing that, that got me into real estate. And then we saved as much money as we can in our first deal. Because of my limited mindset or education in real estate, as well as my limited financing in that order, all we did is buy a single family house. And I remember that because I ran a financial analysis on it. And at this time, by the way, I didn't know anybody in real estate. All I knew was books. So I ran a financial analysis and I told my wife it's going to produce $3,400 after year one. Year one goes by and it produced $33,000. And not a lot of money, but that was like my turning point, because if somebody asked me a year ago to predict how much money I'd make in my 401k, I'd have no clue. And I certainly wouldn't be within $100. But having the level of understanding of my investment and the level of control in my investment, like that was a huge turning point. So from there, just next year I bought a duplex, then I bought two duplexes, and we kept doubling. And as I was doubling and putting more and more into real estate, I was doing a really good job in my W-2 job, and I kept promoting. So as I would promote and, you know, eventually leading enterprise-wide like operations across the company, I realized that the same three things that made me successful at my job, my W-2 job, were starting to make me successful in real estate, and I needed to lean in. I knew I was pretty good with people and leadership. I knew that I had a lot of success with looking at financials and how to drive more profit. And I love, we were talking about this a little bit before, Josh, but I love to obsess over operations and figure out how to find the inefficiencies and be able to drive optimization. So about early 2019, I'm at about 180, 200 units now at this point. Told my boss, I was making the same amount of money in real estate, by the way, at this time as my W-2 job, but my W-2 job, I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. And real estate, I'm working 20 to 30. So it just didn't make any sense. So I quit my job and then went full-time in 2019, let go of my third-party management company, built my own management company in 2019. And that year actually doubled in size. So it was, it paid off going all in on real estate and taking that leap and, you know, focusing on my strengths to drive that and build that operational team as a management company. And then this year, like you said, this year's been, it's been a lot of fun with so much, I know there's been so much going on in the world, but yeah, I think I'll wrap up just over 450 units, 221% growth, and just hit 800 this year. But I'm even more excited for 2021.
So you talked about the three things. We, Jake and Gina, we say peace, people, systems, and culture. Everyone needs to write that down. It's all about the people. It's all about the systems and the culture, especially when you're starting to grow a large portfolio. Logan, going back, what would you have done differently when you first started out investing in real estate?
Yeah, it's my biggest mistake I made still to this day, and I've made a lot of them, was it took me 3 years to buy 7 units, you know. And those 3 years, by the way, were 2013 to 16. And the reason why is I just didn't pay for coaching. I didn't surround myself with people that knew more than I knew. So I could be at 2000 units now if I would have made different decisions and educated myself, but it took me a little bit to be able to learn that. And honestly, that's what ended up helping me explode. I started surrounding myself with like-minded individuals, paying for some mentorship, still do. And that helped me be able to finance deals better, operate deals better, but it took me way too long to get into that education space and change my mindset that way.
Yeah, Logan, why do you think most people are adverse to paying for mentorship, or why do you think that gets a bad rap? And then once you finally did it, you know, what was kind of that turning point that you realized, hey, I need this, this might be beneficial?
I think it goes down to like what we're taught. Like I remember in the beginning, the same reason society has taught me the scarcity mindset, where like you just save everything that you have. So I think it's natural to think, well, I'm saving this money and I don't want to pay for this money for mentorship. You're thinking too small. Like it's a mindset change. And, it's about thinking about, it's not even an expense. I think if you think about, too many people are thinking about what they're spending instead of thinking about what they're making. So once you change that mindset and you agree, you know, you're like, I'm not even paying for this. What I'm paying for is going to make me substantially more money. I mean, that's a huge turning point.
Listen, Logan, I love that, right? And really, I think a good way to look at it for me is, look, all three of us on this call could flip a hamburger just fine, but there's a reason people pay $1 million for a McDonald's franchise, right? It's systems. It's a business in a box. And that's really what you want to do there, right? Because again, if you can realize that your time is more valuable for your money, and investors trade their money to free up their time, right?
Exactly. So for me, I have what baffles me, actually, Josh and Logan, is that people spend thousands of dollars going to college. And I have nothing wrong with college because I have two children who are in college right now. I have a daughter who's a senior and a son who's a freshman, and they're both doing really well in college. And I think there's a time and a place for that. It's the experience, it's the networking, it's the social skills you're learning. And it's the same thing when you're joining a mentorship program. I mean, so think of joining a mentorship program as part of a college tuition, just, you know, increasing that. So when everyone takes a look at that, if they're serious about a certain niche, if you're looking in going into self-storage, for example, find somebody out there who's doing self-storage and you know, pay to play or seek to serve, as Josh likes to say. If you're younger and you don't have the capital, maybe you go and work for that person, but there's always a way to get into whatever you're looking for. So go out there, and success leaves clues. You're going to find the person in there, right, who's doing it follow that person and invest in your education. Because that's what I'm doing with my children. My children are getting, one's graduating. So it's just a stepping stone. It's just, she's had a 4 tremendous years at college. She's loved it. She's made some amazing friends. So through mentorship, you're going to meet people. You're going to get in certain situations that you're uncomfortable, that you never would have gone. And obviously when you have skin in the game, whether you're investing in a deal or you're investing in your education, all of a sudden Logan's going to start listening to his mentors because he's paying for it. But if he didn't pay for it, or my kids didn't go to college and they're getting student debt, they're not really paying for it today. We're paying for it right now. So they better do good in college and they better take it seriously. So that's part of the thing, Josh, that I think people miss on mentorship. They just think, hey, I'm going to pay somebody and I'm going to learn everything. No, there's a lot of hard work involved in when you're getting into the mentorship. And that's what's great about it, because you're actually out there and you got skin in the game and you're just, you want to learn. You want to find somebody who's doing what you're doing. So,
yeah, Gino, go ahead, Logan.
I was going to say, I think that's a good point. Like, there's a lot of people that think if they just pay for the mentorship, it's just going to automatically happen. It's a two-way street, man. And in fact, you should still be doing most of the work. But to get a little bit of their knowledge and come prepared, and then most of all, be able to apply it. Because, I mean, we all know on this call that there's a difference between getting mentorship and then not doing anything about it. But there's a strategic balance between learning and taking action that I think you got to find.
Yeah, that's key. So, all right, Gino said something really important, right? Success leaves clues. So, Logan, let's say we have someone on this call, they're listening, and they maybe have a couple duplexes, or they're still on the fence to getting into real estate. If you could go back and give that person maybe 3 tips to, hey, really explode their success, like, hey, these are the 3 keys that are going to help you build this, go further, faster, and do it safely, what would you say what those tips would be?
Yeah, I think, you guys talk about the 3-step framework all the time. So, I would tell, like, besides mentorships, we could tell that's number one. Like, surround yourself with people that can help you, because when you get in a deal, and especially early on, if you're investing in that and small stuff like duplexes or 4 units, like, there's a lot of doubt. And if you can pay for some mentorship or find the mentor that'll be able to help you, I think that's great. I think number 2 is financing and building relationships is super important. So the second tip, my banks aren't even relationships, they're partners. And I think there's a lot of real estate investors early on that just look at banks to finance deals. I've always looked at banks as partners in my deal, and I treat them that way. I pay attention to them. I give them information before they ask. I can't tell you the amount of real estate investors that I have helped where they're like, oh, my bank's asking for my W-2. Like, first of all, are your tax statements. You should give your bank the tax statements before they ask. Update them on financials quarterly. Even in this pandemic, right? Like, if you think the banks are about risk mitigation, just like us. So if you think there's risk on the table, like, I was sending my banks monthly without them asking vacancy and delinquency updates. So I think building those relationships bank when you're small are critical, because as you scale, I want to be able to double and then double again without building those financial relationships. And then the last one I just want to mention, I think this is important, but I also see a lot of real estate investors struggle with it. I think having a general idea of operations is really, really critical. It doesn't matter if you hire a third party management company or you build your own in-house like Gino has done and I've done. It's you have to know something about operations, because in times like a pandemic, you still need to know what to look for to make sure there's not cracks and there's not things going on, because that's how you control your assets. So you don't need to be an expert, but you need to know enough to be dangerous. And there's so many investors out there that I think only focus on that finance and find the deal part, but you gotta know enough about operations to understand. I mean, that's how you reposition a property. So. Mm-hmm.
Love that. So, at Jake and Gino, we like to say that we create multifamily entrepreneurs, because that's basically what you're doing, right? You'd mentioned the 3-step proprietary framework. For everyone out there who doesn't know it, write it down. It's buy right, manage right, and finance right. It's really sexy to go out there and buy a deal and be a deal junkie and finance a deal, right? But what happens when you close? If you're not managing the property, you better sure learn how to manage it yourself or get third-party property management. And that's what I think our unique selling proposition here at Jake and Gino is. We're manage hounds. We like you, love the systems and the operation. Jake, on his first deal, like you, just started managing it. And he just wanted to learn the systems. And he was being cheap. He didn't want to pay somebody 10% to manage, right? So that was it. That was his motivation. But then once he got into it, he's like, you know what? I can leave my job early and I can really build a company and scale a company. So everybody out there, there's a couple paradigm shifts that I hope you're having while you're listening to this. Number 1, you don't have to start small. That's my idea. You know, you're not really having to start small, but also when you're looking at deals, you know, look at mentorship as an investment in yourself. And I think number two, look at multifamily as a business, not just as just real estate, buying and landlording. You know, Logan's built an amazing organization scaling up, but he started from a single family home making $3,400 a year. He didn't go and buy 100 unit property on his first deal, right? You can do that, obviously. Think big, start small. Now, Logan, as you're getting these assets and you're buying these single families and going into duplexes, you know, what was the shift on your first, you know, multiple unit deal? Let's say anything, you know, you're buying these duplexes. What was your first quote unquote big deal as far as numbers of units?
Yeah, I jumped from 17 to 67.
So let's jump into the 17 unit. How did you get into that 17 unit? Because you have to finance it. You need time to manage the property. There's so many things going on because 17 units is a lot. When you're doing a duplex, our first deal was a 25 unit deal, me and Jake, right? But it was the three of us, me, Jake, and my brother Mark. So if you split that up, it's an average of 8 units per partner, right? And that's still really big when you're first starting out. So how did you get into that 17 unit deal?
Yeah, so this came from the banking relationships that I built over the years. So I was able to finance that deal with none of my own money. It appraised out really, really well as a value add deal. So I got it. And actually, the bank was able to give me money at closing for the rehab, too. So but you can't do that right away. So I think that relationship building, that partnership building with the banks allowed me to be able to do it. I had a track record. And then I over-communicated, I shared what I was going to do, and then I exceeded what I was going to do. So I put milestones in place and worked really hard along with contractors to ensure. And at this time, by the way, Gino, I had a third-party management company because I was working full-time. Mm-hmm. So, but this is where I think a lot of investors make a mistake. If you don't self-manage, you still have to manage the manager. Mm-hmm. So I think I slow down enough to make sure, okay, this is what we agree on in this quarter. This is what we agree on in this quarter. And we knocked that property out. So the next year I was able to buy a 50 unit and the bank trusted me because, again, this is exactly what I did with this value add property. And that changed a lot for me too, Gino. That's what from there on out, it was all apartments, bigger and bigger and bigger apartments, because I really saw the ability to reposition and drive NOI, which I loved. Which, you know, when you look at how you appraise properties, a sales comp is, I mean, man, you just got to hope everything's going up above you. But when you're buying income approach, now you're in the game to force appreciation. Mm-hmm. And once I learned that, like that's all I've been doing since.
I love that. So everyone write this down. People do not lack motivation. They lack clarity. And this is a perfect example. Logan had clarity. The 17 units, he had the clarity of building the relationships, of buying a value add. Then his next deal was 50 units next year, right? I mean, 12 months. That's all it took was 12 months to get his next deal. And it was probably a game-changing, life-changing deal because all of a sudden he's got probably 70 or 80 units right there and it's proof of concept. Now people are knocking on the door to Logan and going, Logan, well, what do you do? Well, yeah. This is what I do, right? So isn't that amazing how that is? You have clarity. So everybody on this call, I want to get into what Logan's strategy is and how I know he likes to refi and roll a lot of his deals. He hasn't syndicated as much. So I think the clarity on the strategy right now, I want everyone to pause for a second. And we talked about buy right. What is your buy right strategy going into 2021? Are you buying deals by yourself? Are you going to be owner financing deals? Are you going to be going after smaller deals, larger deals? Are you going to be syndicating deals? What markets are you going to be, you know, occupying, looking into? So everyone get really clear on your buy right parameters. And once you have them, you feel comfortable, you are going to be motivated and inspired to move forward. But, in a confused mind doesn't know where to go. So that's really important. Logan, discuss, you know, to the listeners, what is your strategy to buying these deals and financing these deals?
Yeah, I'll answer that two ways. My strategy for 2021 or my goals for 2021, I want to end the year with 1500 units, and more specifically, so I want to about double again. And I think, and by the way, I think that's, I have 224 units locked up to close in January already. So 2021 is going to start. Yeah. Three different deals, 248 and one 128. But I think that's possible because what I look for now, we built my management company from 2019, 4 to 5 people to we're closing on our 30th employee, you know, this week. And what I found is I think it's really important to know what kind of systems you already have in place, and then you grow your systems towards your goal. So if I want 1500 plus units total next year, so grow by another 750 units, Then what I know is I need 70% value add, Gino, and about 30% more stable. And the reason I know that is because when I buy value add properties, there's a repositioning process to stabilization, right? And I do refi and roll. I pulled out almost $5 million this year from previous deals from my banks. But I have to know, but it's very important to me, and I think a lot of people don't really take the time to slow down, is how many properties, how many units can your team, even if you hire a third-party management company, by the way, if you're having this kind of growth, you got to make sure that your company, in this case, my management company, can handle that growth. And so for 2021, I don't just want to grow by 750 units and get to 1,500. I want to grow, and I want to grow deep. So you kind of talk about that. I've heard you talk about this, grow wide or grow deep. I own 100% of my properties right now. Mm-hmm. And next year, I probably will again. I will look into syndication, and I do have plenty of people that do want to invest with me. But right now, my opinion is financing is so damn cheap. Like banks are my best partner. You can't beat 3%. So, and I have enough capital to be able to refinance and continue to reach my goals for next year. So I'm going to buy it myself, at least for next year. And then I'm going to buy 30% stabilized or unstabilized value add and 30% stabilized. And then I'm going to go really, really deep because it's important to me, not just from an equity standpoint, you know, owning 10% or whatever, but there's, you know, there's a difference between owning, and one of my big hairy goals is 10,000. I want to be at 10,000 units in the next 7 years, but I don't want to be at 10,000 units and have minimum profit. And I want to have 10,000 units where I've truly improved residents' life. I've driven profit, I optimized those properties. So that's why I got to do it with the right ratios. And if you want, Gino, like what I feel is one of the best systems that we have in place at my management company is the acquisition to repositioning to stabilization process. And I can share a few things about that if you want.
Sure. Let me really touch on what you're talking about, though. I want everyone to imagine and picture a conveyor belt. Multifamily is the long game. You got a deal, you're putting it on a conveyor belt. It takes 18 months, 24 months to fully realize a liquidity event, whether it's a sale or whether it's a refinance. That's why multifamily can be difficult, because year one, you may not get a deal. Jake and I, after 18 months, we got our first deal. So 18 months on the wagon, but then 3 months after that, we bought our second one. So by year three of the game, we're refining our first two deals. So it is a long process. It's a long game. So I want everyone to think out there, you know, you give multifamily real estate 3, 4, 5 years of your life, you can be set free instead of working 40 years for somebody else and, you know, going out making a pension when you're 60 years old. So if you can commit to this, I like to call it a game, because I think investing really is a game, right? It's got to be a lot of fun. It's challenging, but you learn it. If you can really dedicate yourself the next 3 years to doing this and start putting assets on that conveyor belt, and you'll see what's happening with Logan. He's got over $5 million of money refinanced, because everyone's always asking, well, how do I get into this multifamily game? Well, that's how it is. If you can either syndicate, you can do some, you know, creative financing, or you start putting deals on your conveyor belt. And then after the conveyor belt starts going out, you can start printing money and refinancing money. So that's really, really exciting. Why don't you dive into that, into what you wanted to discuss with us? Love that.
Yeah, I just think I'm always trying to add value. And I think as I'm coaching other students like you too, Gino, I feel they're not, there's a lot of newer real estate investors that don't pay as much time or don't even put together a repositioning plan for value add properties. And if they do, they just hand it off to their management company and then hope that they arrive there in 18 to 24 months. But like you said, you can create substantial value. And I firmly believe that I don't care if you have a management company or not, you as the real estate investor should come up with that vision and that strategy and put timetables in place or to ensure that whoever you have working with you or for you can drive that. So we have a 32-step process, actually, and I'm not going to go through obviously all 32 steps, but I'll highlight my favorite ones. But the important thing is that you have a process to reposition a property, because that's how you add substantial cash flow and substantial value to continue to roll if you really want to scale. So Step one, one of my favorite steps in the beginning is that I do, I think, a little bit differently, is I actually start the repositioning process while the deal is still under contract. So even when you start with underwriting, and I underwrite all my deals with actual numbers, you should never, you know, get a deal under contract based on performas, in my opinion. So I underwrite it, get it under contract on actual numbers, but then you still should put together, if you understand the area, and I invest in all locations I do understand, you should be able to understand the income strategy for the next year, two, three, five, 10. So I'm already kind of putting together what I think I can do with this property over the next 10 years. And then the next step that I think is in the repositioning, or one of my favorite, is the inspection. And I think so many people do this wrong. So the inspection is not just about inspecting your property for everything that's wrong. And a lot of people I talk to, that is the only thing they do. That, in my opinion, is 10% of what inspection is for, just 10. And of course, you know, I always bring a licensed inspector and we check all the things that are wrong, like plumbing, electrical, roof, foundation, whatever. That, I'm not saying not do that, but do that. But what we also do is I bring my director of operations, my president of the management company, my director of communities, and my director of leasing. And we all are at the property. And by the way, I still walk every single unit. I know you guys do too, Gino. But when we're walking units, we're not just inspecting for what's wrong. We have a template where we measure the square footage of the unit. Shit, we measure the square footage, the vanity, the lighting fixtures, how the what size is the fridge that fits in, what is the square footage of luxury vinyl plank that we're gonna have to put into this unit. We're basically putting together the rehab repositioning part of the property during inspection. And that gives us, like, you don't wait till the deal is closed. You're seeing every unit anyway. So this kind of speeds up the process. And by the way, my operations director is putting together what it would cost, but my leasing director is saying, hey, I think, like, you need to do, because, right, she's the one who knows, she's the one leasing. She knows what we can get for rent. And I think this is really critical. She will say, I think we can get $150 more on this particular unit if the tenant moves out. And this is what we're going to have to do. And my operations director is going to be like, well, that's going to cost $5,000. Well, then what we do is we take $150 times 12 for the year. That's $1,800. We divide 18 by the $5,000 rehab, and that's a 36% return on your investment. We want anything over 25% return on investment. Like, let's make sense to do it. Mm-hmm. But they're, as you know, Gino, you walk through each unit. Not all units are the same. So you could walk through the next unit, and maybe that one does already have luxury vinyl plank. So maybe that's, I think you guys have light, medium, and heavy. I do too. I think it's genius. So maybe that's a light rehab that's only going to cost $1,000. And we're only going to get a $100 rent increase, but it's still that 36% return on investment. So as we're walking every single unit, we're creating the rehab plan. We're creating the income producing plan. And then what my community director is doing, because I think this is critical too, is he's in charge of how the property looks on the outside and the common areas and how it feels. So I think if you're going to reposition a property, you need to understand what you want it to feel like and look like at the end of it. Do you want it young executive? Do you want it family? Do you want it something in between? So there's a lot of little things you can do with a property to make it look and feel, and that matches your rehab strategy and your rent strategy. Those are the three work streams that matter. So we continue to walk through the inspection, and we talk to a ton of residents too. I think that's a huge mistake. Why would you not talk to the residents? Just talk to a real estate investor the other day and they're like, oh, I hope a lot of the residents are gone. Why? Ask them what they think is wrong with the property. I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like I don't even need my licensed inspector. I just ask the tenants and they'll tell me more about the property than I would ever need or want to know. Mm-hmm. But especially the ones that have been there for a while. So talk to the residents, get a good idea of what it is and really build that plan. And you don't need an operations director or a community director. By the way, I didn't have them in the beginning. That's you. That's you as the real estate investor. Don't just look for what's wrong with the property. And by the way, I rarely renegotiate after inspection. My goal is to, like, I'm a big believer. Sam Zell talks about this all the time. Is you can leave a little on the table. You know, as long as it's reasonable, even if I find some stuff, I'll make sure they know I found some stuff. And then, but I'll waive the inspection if I can all help it. Nickel and diming doesn't help anything. And if you want to grow, like, again, 90% of my time is spent, how do we redefine the repositioning? Mm-hmm. Then you get through the inspection phase. And this is the last thing I'll mention. We could do a whole podcast on this. I think reposition is just so critical to building wealth. But the last step is, after the deal is now closed, we have a 1 week a 30-day, a 90-day, and then quarterly and yearly to 5 years, right? Technically to 18 to 24 months, because that's when you should ideally reach stabilization. But in week one, it's called immediate impact week. I pull everybody from my office, not just the maintenance technicians or the operations team. I'm talking about the office assistant. I'm talking about the leasing agents. We bring everybody to the property. And then all those things that the tenant said that are reasonable, by the way, you know, that the light that never turns on in the common area, the door that has never been painted, we paint it. We fix the light. We do the landscaping. We make sure they see a team of 30 people for 1 week just pounding the property and doing things that are enhancing the property. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Gino, I asked my president to share the repositioning vision with every team member. Mm-hmm. And this is what goes wrong sometimes when you have a third party management company. You just say, hey, here's how I want to position it. The president or the guy you're talking to at the third party management company, he's the only one that knows the vision. My entire team, I want to tour the property, and I actually want every single person in my company to understand what this property is going to feel like a year to 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime somebody spends a minute on the property, hopefully they have that in their back of their mind. And after that first week is gone, in the next 30 days, guess what we do? We communicate it to the residents. I don't understand why people don't take credit for it. Like, I don't just want my employees to know or the bank to know or the management company to know. Tell the residents what you're doing. You know, you don't need to go into details, but tell the residents that they deserve, we want to improve their lives, and they deserve a great home and a great apartment community. And we are going to do that for you over the next year. Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, so we share that with the residents as well. And then in the first 90 days, that's when we start introducing our income strategy. And I say income, not rent, because I think a lot of people get caught up in like raising rents, which again is important, but I mean, in apartments, it's all about increasing NOI. So it could be about, if you're paying for water, we always rub back water. That's a $40 a unit increase. So instead of raising rent by $50, maybe you rub back water for 40 and then you increase rent by 20. Now you just increased NOI by 60. And then in that 90 days, we're going to optimize the property too, right? We're going energy efficient. We're going to make sure that the things that the owner is paying for is as minimal as possible. And you know, I firmly believe with all these steps, and, you know, I'll digress because I know I've been talking too long, but this repositioning process, I think we can do it in probably 6 to 12 months less than most people, because we have our systems in place and everybody has responsibility and everybody knows exactly what we're doing, not just the investor and the bank.
So let's take a step back. When Jake and I first started buying deals, it took us a long time. We didn't have the mentorship and we didn't have the team. So when you're out there, if you're buying your first deal, don't feel overwhelmed like you need all of this. On a smaller deal, you don't need this, right? You can go through all the units. Our 25 unit property, we didn't have a CapEx crew out there. We didn't have our subs out there. We had an inspector and ourselves walking the property. And as you get bigger, you're going to learn these processes. That's why you're investing in your education. In December of 2017, we bought a 64 unit property. It took us almost 24 months to do that deal. We just closed in a deal back at the end of September, Josh, 48 units. That 48 unit property is completely turned. New roofs, new driveways, 48 units all turned. Now we're going to attack the office, which has got two apartments, which we're going to turn into two apartments. So this is like a process. See what I'm talking about? The conveyor belt. That's why you need to start. It's never the right time to start unless you're ready for it. And then you start and you start buying these assets and you start learning the process, investing in your education, you know, surrounding yourself with people, like Logan said, that, you know what they're doing, and you're going to learn from them. But if you never take the first step, you'll never know how to reposition a property. And it actually becomes fun, because then you get on the property with your CapEx crew, you're scoping lines, you're looking at all different things, and you're like coming up with solutions to the property. Last question, Logan, before we go to the personal growth questions. How are you finding these deals in this part of the market cycle?
Yeah, almost all my deals this last year, the 450 units, have been all off market. And how I found them is really try to figure out, like, you know, how to target these off-market deals. So besides developing relationships with agents over the years, finder fees, I'm not shy. Like, I just gave somebody $125,000 for finding me 122 unit this year. So I try to tell everybody and anybody what I'm looking for, and that I'll pay if you find it, because I usually negotiate the deal at this point myself anyway. And then the last thing, Gino, honestly, there's two things happening right now with the pandemic. People are really nervous and fearful, especially people that have been in the game for a long time. So I'm targeting people that have been maybe that ma and pa operations that are 20 to 30 years in. So, you know, going after them because they might want to get out because they're fearful of maybe the next couple of years. And the second person I'm targeting that I don't think a lot of people are is bad property management companies. Mm-hmm. Like there is so many property management companies that got in the business these last 5 years since the recession that thought they knew what they were doing. A lot of companies could run properties the last 5 years. Not a lot of companies could run during this pandemic. So you should, if you know the area well enough, you also know the bad property management companies. So quite honestly, one of the strategic things we've been doing this year, and quite honestly, we're going to continue to do, and we've had success in, we find the management companies that are not managing well, we find the properties they're managing, and that's how we strategically go after those owners, because it's sad, but unfortunately, if they're not paying attention, they probably are losing money. And so now you got, you know, losing money, bad property management, and fear.
I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, buy right, manage right, and finance right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, Logan, I got some personal development questions here. And really, I got one I want to focus on as well. So if you look at most entrepreneurs' journeys, and yours specifically as well, it's this hockey stick curve to success, right? Slow, 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 and then it explodes. A lot of times that mindset of that delayed gratification is hard. Most people have trouble pushing through that. And truthfully, they give up before they hit that exponential growth. You know, for you, how were you able to push through that and see the long game? And what tips would you give to most people that are going through that right now?
I think one of the things I talk about at my management company a lot is like the same thing. I constantly am trying to think about two things, predictability and repeatability. So I think if you can be very predictable in what you're doing, and then you can repeat what you're doing when you have that bad, you know, because I think, like you kind of said, there, it doesn't just go the hockey stick, right? It's kind of like, boom, like, boom. So like, it looks like that, but honestly, there's a lot of setbacks along the journey. But if you develop a mindset or a personal routine that you can repeat and that's predictable, I think most people will break through that and just keep tracking along. I think when you haven't created a repeatable or predictable routine towards your end goal, as Gino would say, the clarity of focus, if you're not clear on that, I think it's very easy on one of these just to break off.
Now, listen, I love that. So you read a book a week. What is your favorite book you've ever read and why?
A lot of them are mentioned already. I mean, I love a lot of different leadership books. Our real estate books like Rich Dad Poor Dad and stuff. But my favorite is actually Principles, Life and Work by Ray Dalio. It's a heavy book. This is the kind of book where you can read two pages and it makes you think for 2 hours. But I think it's all about how people think, you know, how to lead people. And this is a people business, right? Like real estate is all about that. And it does talk about systems and growth and yeah, Principles is awesome.
Awesome. What about the best deal you've ever done and why?
Best deal I probably have ever done would be from that 17, I ended up buying like a 55 unit right afterwards. And that was the best deal. It first of all is the first substantial apartment I bought. Bought it for 2.1, financed that one with none of my own money, got a really, really good deal. And then I put together like a 24-month repositioning process, but I was actually able to reposition it much faster in the first 12 months. We almost doubled rents and spent a couple $100,000 to do that. But then I refied that deal for $3.4 million. And then I think it was 30 months later, we refied it for $4.8 million. So it almost more than doubled. And I actually think it's not just my favorite because of the money I've been able to pull out and the cash flow from it. But, you know, it was my first opportunity to reposition something big that set the stage for creating systems for the rest. So I think that's one of my favorite too.
Listen, I love that. So, all right, this has been an incredible episode filled with nuggets. And I think really one theme that stood out to me is the five P's. Gino, what are the five P's?
I don't know. What are they?
Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. I love that. And I really think that's the key to success there. Gino, man, listen, I know you got some takeaways to add to this. What do you got for us?
Well, the five P's is good, right? It's just really preparing yourself, right? Because, you know, Logan's working for a Fortune 50 company in leadership. He likes his job, but I mean, the roller coaster with the 401k is not jiving. He likes to look at what it's worth. He doesn't want to wait. Does not want to wait till he's 59 and a half years old to start pulling it out. So he buys a single family home. He says, "Hey, $3,400 is what I think we're going to make." And he comes $100, you know, short of that, right? The predictability is what he liked. And, you know, it took him a little bit longer to start scaling up, which is not a problem, right? He was exactly where he needed to be at that part of his journey. If he'd gotten mentorship a little bit sooner, like Jake and Gino had, he probably would have more units right now, but that's not the issue. Started scaling up, buying duplexes, then going, finding a 17 unit, then buying that great deal he just described, hitting all the way up till now. I mean, almost 800 units, and he's probably going to double this year, being able to refinance out over $5 million. It's a slow game, right? But it's only been 5 or 6 years. It seems like you're talking about decades and decades of work. I want everyone out there to picture to themselves if they can have that kind of success that Logan has had. And it's only going to take you 5 years to do that, but you're going to completely revolutionize your life. You're going to completely be able to control your destiny and not have to worry about a W-2 income. And more importantly, create a business that impacts lives and that, you know, gives you the financial freedom and the financial control. Would you do it? I mean, the answer to me would be absolutely. So what are you guys waiting for out there? Josh?
Wow, Gino, that's inspirational, man. I would do that every single day and twice on Sunday.
Josh, Josh. That's the great thing about it, right?
Yeah.
And Logan's doing it too. That's the whole idea. I mean, it's not – Logan, no offense to you. Josh, no offense to you, and no offense to me. We are not rocket scientists out here. We're not that smart. But what we do have, once again, is we have clarity, and we have a system that we can rinse and repeat that other people are doing, right? And we can copy. My boy over there likes to say R&D, rip off and duplicate. It's not really hard. I mean, find the process. Logan has got the system. If you want to figure out that system, figure it out. See what Logan's doing and copy and replicate it. So, Logan, any final words?
Yeah, Gino, you just said it again. And that's my biggest takeaway from this podcast is you keep talking about clarity of mind. And I think in this age that we're currently at, focus, intensity of focus is an absolute superpower. I think there's so much distraction in the world right now. So much going on with social media and everything. I think if you want the kind of success, I think it's so important to have intensity of focus. It's a state of flow, right, Gino? Like yes. It starts with the clarity, right? Take slow down. So many people want financial freedom, but they haven't even slowed down enough to ask why, when, and how to go about it. Define your goal. And then if there's one thing I could say about focus, and I practice focus. It's probably my favorite habit is practicing of focus is you got to put yourself in a state of flow. And my state of flow is I need to spend 90 minutes uninterrupted. That's my state of flow. I feel like everything else you block out and you spend 90 minutes focusing in on the clearly defined goal that you have. And you focus only on positivity. Doesn't matter if things have happened to knock you back. It's positive. And then you repeat that 90 minutes state of flow. And you can accomplish things people think are impossible with that focus.
I want everyone to answer this question to themselves. Honestly, where is your cell phone right now? Josh, you have your cell phone next to you. My cell phone
in my office.
That's right. I am focused exactly on this conversation, and it's not going. I'm not going to this my phone, cell phone for the next hour. I'm not on social media. That's what it's all about. If you want to have that focus, if you want to start the conversation about getting into multifamily, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and let's start that conversation. Let's start helping you set your goals, set your vision. Because if you don't have that, you're never going to achieve it. You're not even going to know what to do. So once again, go to jakeandgino.com/apply. Logan, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
We can put my link on the bottom of it, but or you can email me at logan@rankininvestment.com. That's also my website as well.
Well, listen, Logan, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your Movers and Shakers story. Guys, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. See
Thanks,
everybody.
Logan. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.